That was well read, and appreciate you doing that for us. So we're going to talk about love today, and maybe as we get started, can you think of any, what are your love songs? What are your favourite love songs? Hey? Come on, show that romantic side. You're a musician, Simon, what love songs do you play? No? Cat's got your tongue. Surely you've all got some love songs you think of. Do they still play love songs on the radio these days? Does anybody listen to the radio? I listen to it in my car. I'm driving. Lots of love songs. The other funny thing is, too, is that when you get asked to take a wedding, very often people will... is it working or not? People will have an idea of a passage of scripture they want read, and very often it's 1 Corinthians 13, okay? Without love we are a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal and so on. And one of the difficulties you often find yourself in when you're talking with a couple planning a wedding is that that really is not about romantic love. It's not about husband-wife love, but it's about a deeper and more profound kind of love. But anyway, we're going to talk about that today, because that passage that we read, Jesus tells his disciples that he's giving them a new commandment. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you." Wasn't it great singing that old chorus again? That you love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Well, here in the upper room, Jesus is preparing his disciples, his closest followers, for something he calls his glorification. And because we know the end of the story, because we know that what happens to Jesus, you think to yourself, what on earth can this glorification be? Well, we realize that when he's talking about his glorification, he's actually talking about something we would say is his greatest tragedy, which is the crucifixion. So Jesus is preparing them for that, and he wants to show them what leadership looks like when he has gone. And so what he does is he gets a towel and he wraps it around his waist and prepares himself to wash the feet of his disciples, a task that would ordinarily belong to one of the household servants or a slave. But Jesus takes that task upon himself because he's showing them that leadership has its beginnings in service. And so Jesus washes his disciples' feet, and that causes consternation amongst them. And then as they go on to celebrate the Jewish Passover, he reveals to them that one of them, Judas Iscariot, is going to betray him to the religious leaders at that time. Judas leaves. Notice John's great literary skill there. He says Judas goes out and it was night. And Judas goes out to collect his 30 pieces of silver, the price of the Son of Man, the Son of God. So after Judas's exit, he begins to say farewell. Jesus begins to farewell his disciples, his followers. He tells them that the beginning of his glorification has started, and he's headed now to the cross. It's something that is set. It's going to happen. And this act is also going to bring his Father glory. And so as he turns their minds and turns their attention towards this final act that Jesus is going to undertake, his crucifixion, he introduces them to his new ethic, his new command, his new rule, if you will, for them. And so in verse 34 and 35, he says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Jesus is, as it were, is giving an 11th commandment to his disciples here. You know, we've got the 10 commandments, and now it's almost like he's adding on another one. Is he? We'll talk about that. But what is Jesus saying? In essence, what he's saying here to his disciples and what he's saying here to you and I is that when we love like Jesus, everyone will see that we are with him. And I'll explain what I mean by that as we just look at this. And I've just really got two kind of statements to make. Can you just advance it to the next slide? Is this thingy plugged in? Oh yeah, sweet. Put the first one up. Thank you. So Jesus commands us to love each other like he loves us. And, you know, I'm in the middle of a series about Luke. Sorry, I've got lots of things in my pockets, and I hate having things in my pockets, so empty some of them out. We're in the middle of a series of Luke, but I wanted to talk about this because, you know, our family has been experiencing a significant amount of love over the past couple of weeks. And maybe you've been in a situation like that yourself, where you have experienced a significant amount of love from God's people and from the community. And it kind of looks like it may be just something as simple as a text saying, "Hey, how are you? Praying for you." Maybe just a phone call, you know, how are you doing? How are things going? Anything, you know, you need done? Or do you want to come and have a coffee? Go out for a coffee? Or somebody might drop some food off to your house, some baking or something they've picked up from the supermarket, or even sometimes a meal, you know, so you don't have to cook. Or they might, rather than dropping stuff off, they might pick up children and take children away so you don't have to look after children. And those are all acts of love, aren't they? Those are the ways that we show love for one another. And of course, there's many, many. Those are just some examples that I've mentioned there. They're not the only ways that we can show love for one another. One of the most loving things we can do for one another, of course, is to pray for one another and just to let each other know, to say, "Hey, I am praying for you. What specifically can I pray for you, and how can I pray for you?" And to follow through on that and pray, and maybe while if you're talking to them on the phone, just pray straight away right there and then, just say, "Let's pray right now." This is how we can show love for one another. And for our family, we've really experienced that. You've loved us well. And it's interesting that Jesus here, though, he says he's giving this as a command. So when Jesus introduces this idea and reinforces this idea for his disciples, he says, "It's a new command I give you." Why does he say it's new? Well, I guess it's new because, firstly, it's a command to live in that love of Jesus. It's a command to live in the love of Jesus. What do I mean by that? Well, it's a love that really we can only experience and enter into as we enter into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a love that comes that we live out in his love. As Jesus has loved us, so we enter into that love. We receive that, the loving act of Jesus, where he lays down his life for us, and we participate in that. And we are part of that. And so it's a new in that sense. It hasn't ever been spoken of like that before. It hasn't been revealed. God hasn't revealed that love like this before. It's new in Christ Jesus. And it's new because it's a command that we're called to live out the love of Jesus. Okay, so it's a new in the sense that it's in Christ Jesus as we enter into relationship and as we participate in the salvation that he offers his people. It's new in that sense, but it's also new in the sense that it's a living out of his life. We look at Jesus, we look at the life that he lived, we experience that for ourselves and we say, I want to live like Jesus lived. I want to live my life in the same way as he lived and as he calls me, and I want to live out that love that he showed. And so he has these words, as I have loved you. What Jesus is saying is he's giving us a pattern for our love for each other. This is how you should love, washing one another's feet. This is a pattern. Sacrificing our own comfort, sacrificing our own needs, sacrificing our own status, sacrificing whatever it is that's precious to us for one another. So it's a pattern in that sense, but it also is something that gives us that power to love, because Jesus has died on the cross, because Jesus has in love laid down his life, he blesses us in the same way to love each other. And so it's a love that comes from the new a new life in Christ Jesus. It's new in that sense. But isn't it odd when you think about it, when Jesus says, I'm commanding you? A new commandment I give to you. When you think about commandments, what do you automatically associate a commandment with? What do you think about? You think about rules, don't you? Okay, you think about something that's laid upon you. And if I was to say to you, you know, Ian, I command you to love Simon, all right, it would be like, well, Ian could choose to say, well, I can do it or I don't. And if I do it, I'm doing it just because Jeff's told me to. And of course, what does that become? Well, it becomes a kind of slavery or servitude if we're doing it just because we've been ordered to. That's what you do at work, don't you? You turn up at work in the morning and the boss says, this is what I want you to do today. And you don't say, well, I'll think about it, maybe. You do it. Why? Because you're being paid to do it. You're being commanded, and therefore you can be commanded to do it. So Jesus, he says, I'm giving you this commandment, a new commandment that I'm giving you to love one another. And we just generally don't associate those two terms together, do we? Love and command. Love and rule. Well, how does Jesus command? Well, he says, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Right at the beginning of that chapter that Karen read for us, John gives this sort of editorial kind of statements. He says, here, Jesus knew that the time had come. This is verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And so the command to love can be given. It can be commanded. Jesus can command it because he's going to show and he's going to demonstrate and he's going to enact that love. He's going to bring it about. So if you go on to chapter 15 and verse 13, we read those well-known words, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Okay, so Jesus is referencing himself, and so suddenly we see what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love one another, but also we see why we're supposed to love one another, because Jesus loves you and I. And because Jesus loves you and I, it's a natural outflow of what it means to be a Christian. If you're a Christian, you have experienced the love of Jesus. You have entered into that love. Jesus has in love come and laid down his life for you, and you know that, and you have experienced that in your life. Once you were outside of Christ, now you're inside of Christ. Once you were lost, now you are found. Once you were in darkness, now you are in the light with Christ Jesus. Jesus has not only shown you love, but he has brought you into his love. And therefore, when he speaks to you and says, this is the commandment I'm giving to you. It's not something that he is imposing on you from the outside. It's not something that he is ordering you to do as a new kind of rule that you have to try and live your life by, but this is something now that he draws out of you because you have entered into his love. And so let's just call it, it's a different kind of love, isn't it? Let's just call it Jesus' love. It's Jesus' love. Sometimes people go on about agape love and filial love and all that. I think it gets way too confusing. Let's just call it Jesus' love. Because it is totally unique. It's a love that springs out of his sacrificial death as the Son of God, once for all on the cross for his people. And this is a love that is unique amongst other loving acts, you know, you see, because as Christians, we don't have a monopoly on love. There are many loving people. We can probably all think of other people who are outside of the Christian community who are very loving and very caring and do wonderful things. And so we shouldn't try and kid ourselves and think we're the only people who, you know, do loving deeds and acts for one another. But this kind of love is unique. This Jesus love, it is something that is only found in and through the Lord Jesus Christ as he reveals it to us in his word. And just want to reference here 1 John chapter 4 and verses 7 and 11. Very powerful words. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You see how John puts it there. Apparently John was known as the apostle of love. When he was in his 90s, his disciples would pick him up and carry him to lead them and to teach them. And he kind of got to that point where he would just say to them, love one another. Maybe we can all think of people like that. I knew an older gentleman who throughout his life, even as a Christian, he was quite a, combative personality. He was always up for a bit of an argument. He was always up for a bit of a confrontation. I never knew him like that. And I was warned about him, and they said, you want to watch out for this guy because he's pretty, you know, he's pretty feisty. And he loves to argue. And as a young pastor, you want to be a bit careful around him. And then, but by the time I got to meet him, he was into his 80s. And you know what he used to go around saying? We should just love one another. We should just love one another as Christians. You know, we should be loving those Christians over there in that other church or in that other place. That's what we should be doing. And people started to say, oh, he's gone all soft now. Oh dear. I was just glad to know him like that. And so, you know, John here, he talks about, you know, love is from God, and then he defines it, doesn't he? This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son. But then if you move on to that second part of it, he makes that other quite surprising statement. Hey, Lucy, do you want to go to the next one? Thanks. he says that, this is how everyone will know you are my disciples. By this, verse 35, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Over the years, people have often talked about how do you recognize a true church? Okay, when you're looking around and you're trying to figure out which is a good church and which is not such a good church, what do you look for? And historically, some theologians and church leaders have said, you know, we should look for the preaching of the Word of God. We should look for the sacraments, you know, the Lord's Supper and the baptism. And we should look for discipline, use of church discipline and things and other kinds of. And we may all have our own kinds of lists. Some people might say it has to be really awesome music or incredible preaching or whatever it is, a great, you know, setting or... But you know what's really, really funny is Jesus actually gives us a definition of a church, doesn't he? In verse 35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Jesus just nails it. He says that's actually the definition of a church there. You have love one for another. This is the sign. This is the sign that you are, and the evidence that you are my disciples. And it's an ingredient that is so easy to miss out. And coming right off the back of Jesus washing his disciples' feet, taking the robe, taking the bowl, taking their smelly feet and putting them in the bowl and washing their feet. Jesus shows them. He shows them what this love looks like. He served them and he sacrificed for them by dying on the cross for them. And we also are called to these acts of service and obedience, not just service and sacrifice, not just as a way of trying to appease God or trying to make others think that we are somehow better or we're not as bad as we really are. But we do it, of course, because it is the Spirit of Christ that is within us and who moves us to do that. And we're living it out. And it's a love that's worked out in our community, within a community, within a church family. It's a love that is worked out as we spend time with one another. It's so important for us. That's why we encourage each other to meet during the week, you know, when we can. I know not everybody can, but that's why it is so important. It's an expression of the love of Christ as we meet throughout the week, or as we catch up with one another, whether it's one or two or as a group. We need to do that within community, within our church family. We do that as we pray for each other, as we care for one another. You know, one of the reasons why often pastors will hear why people end up leaving a church is because they don't feel loved. They may not express it quite like that. They probably won't say, you know, you didn't love me, but they will say something like, I didn't have any friends, or nobody ever spoke to me, or nobody ever phoned me or texted me to see how I was or how I was doing or anything like that. And so it's absolutely vital. Why? Because it's a part of what it means to be a Christian. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And when we start to stop doing those basic things, the question then gets asked, are these people really the disciples of Jesus? If they're not loving one another, are they really following Jesus? And it's love that extends not just to those within the community, it's a love that is also, you might say, evangelistic. Jesus says, by our love, others will see that we follow Jesus. Others will see that we follow Jesus, and if they're looking for Jesus, they will know where to find him. And it might be just something as simple as when a visitor comes to the church, you take the time to say hello to them. And it might mean that you don't talk to that person who you already talked to last week, or you know somebody you've been talking to throughout the week. You can just put that on hold and say, here's somebody else, here's a priority person that I can talk to. I should make an effort to go and talk to them, to make them feel welcomed, to make them to feel something of the love of Christ. Or maybe it's just talking to other people out there, taking time to talk to your hairdresser or your neighbor or whoever. had a great example of this recently. I had to take Mum to her audiologist. That's the person who looks after your ears and your devices that go in your ears. And Mum had lost one of her hearing aids, and so we went to see the audiologist. And they engage in different discussions and conversations to test the hearing, and they've got lots of fancy gadgets. But she said to the lady who was doing it, she said to Mum, she said, "What's your favourite book?" Because she was wanting to test Mum's hearing. "What's your favourite book?" And Mum said, "My favourite book is the Bible." And the girl, she actually became quite emotional and said, "Oh, I should be reading the Bible too." And we ended in this whole conversation where we exchanged phone numbers and were trying to help her find a church around, because she lived in a different part of town, and trying to find her a good church near where she lived and so on. And just coming from this very simple thing. Now, what was so loving about that was that Mum was honest. Now, don't say to somebody, "Well, my favourite book's the Bible," if it's not the Bible. That's just being fake. All right, but if it is your favourite book, and if it is the book that you read every day, mate, the most loving thing is to be open and honest with that person and to say it, and to show the love of Christ to them. And so, so it's simple stuff. Somebody wrote this. I didn't write this. I can't remember the guy's name though, but I'll read it out to you. He said, "Nothing astonishes a fractured world as much as a community which is radical, faithful, genuine, genuine love is shared among its members. There are many places that you can go to find communities of shared interest. There are many places that you can go to find people just like yourself, sports clubs, bridge clubs, whatever. But it is the mandate of the church to be a community of love." Right? You get what they're saying? There's plenty of other places you can join up to, in a club or a society, and they can and talk about other things, and that's what gathers you together. But we have been given a specific charge to be a community of love, specifically the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. A circle of Christ's followers who invest in one another because Jesus invested in them. In 1967, the Beatles sang, "Come on, you, all you need is love," okay? And Ringo and George and what's his name, John, and who's the other guy's name? Paul. They all looked pretty loving and happy when they sang that. Interesting, when you watch that video, I think Mick Jagger's in it, and he doesn't look that enthused about it. Funny that. Nice song. In 1984, Tina Turner sang, "What's Love Got to Do with It? It's just a second-hand emotion." Okay? And that was her big number one hit, because she beat Bucks Fizz to it. They had recorded the same song and she beat them to it. What's Love Got to Do with It? Well, neither of them were correct, were they? It's not just love, it's Jesus' love. All you need is Jesus' love. And the love of Jesus has got everything to do with it in the world. Let's pray. Our Father, we confess that love is something that so easily escapes us when we take our eyes off Jesus. And so, our prayer to you today is that you would renew your love in our hearts, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love that is shared abroad in our hearts, the love that comes to us in Christ Jesus that cannot be found anywhere else. It is a love that comes to us because He loved us by laying down His life for us. And Lord, today maybe we are in a situation where that love has totally escaped us and we don't even know what it means. Maybe we don't even love ourselves. Maybe we don't feel loved. Maybe we don't
know how to love others. Lord, I pray that the love of Jesus would come and conquer and break into our hearts, so that we would hear his command to love one another in the same way that he has loved us, and that others will see this love, Lord, and they will know that we are your disciples. We pray this in his precious name. Amen.